I'd appreciate you praying for me tonight. I feel kind of lousy, but trust that I'll be able to make it through and make it clear. So we're in Revelation chapter 20 this evening. Revelation chapter 20. We're nearing the end, and as we see in our little chart here, the chapter 20 is the blue section right here, the millennial reign of Christ. The kingdom, the earthly kingdom, thousand-year kingdom, and goes by a lot of different names here, but it follows right after the tribulation period, and it takes 1,000 years during that time. You see at the bottom here that the beast and the false prophet were cast into the lake of fire before the millennium starts, and then at the time of the great white throne, which is also chapter 20, the Satan and the unbelievers are cast into the lake of fire. So all this takes place in chapter 20 here. So it's important for us to take a good look at this chapter, a very significant chapter in the Bible, and one that we ought to be familiar with. First of all, the tribulation is now over. This chapter commences a 1,000-year earthly kingdom of Christ. All those who reject the Lord's offer of salvation are now dead. Were either killed in the Battle of Armageddon or subsequently by the hand of God in the judgment of the living nations. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46 is the judgment of the living nations. Remember, that's the chapter where Christ is speaking and he's saying, you know, because you did all these things in my name, blessed are you, enter into my kingdom. And they said, Lord, when did we do all that stuff? And they said, you know, when did we treat you like that? When did we come visit you when you were sick and help you when you were... He says, if you did it to the least of my brethren, you did it to me. And those who didn't serve him there. So apparently, the judgment of the living nations is those who lived through the tribulation period, those who ministered to the believers during the tribulation period, were blessed of God, and if they lived through the tribulation, they and the believers were the living, propagating people that lived during the tribulation or during the millennium. So those living believers who survived the tribulation, they're going to enter into the kingdom as the mortal inhabitants of the earth who will propagate during the millennium. All right, so those of us who are going to be there with the Lord, we are already going to have our immortal bodies, so we're not going to be propagating. We're just going to be there reigning with Christ and having some kind of supervisual ministry among the people of the world. I don't fully understand that because it almost seems like there's going to be, you know, millions of chiefs and no Indians. You know, there's going to be lots of leaders. But until the world populates again, there's not going to be that many people on the earth. But the population will increase quickly because of the circumstances. And, you know, it appears that things are going to go back much like they were in the Garden of Eden. And it'll be a wonderful millennial time with Christ on the throne. Now, as we begin here in verse number 1, preparation for Christ's earthly reign. Verse number 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having... How about if I do this? How about if I farm this out to some brave soul? Who wants to read? Mel? All right, Melody will read. Nice and loud, dear.
And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand.
How many? Three.
And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season.
Okay. So as we look at this, excuse me, God sent an angel from heaven, and the angel held the key to the bottomless pit. Right, now, the bottomless pit is also referred to as the deep. Over in Luke chapter 8 and verse 31, and also in Romans 10, 7, both of those places, it's just called the deep. Unger, in his Bible dictionary, calls this the prison house of the demons. Right now, when the angels fell from heaven, not all of them were chained up in the bottomless pit. It may also be the place called Tartarus. All right, so not all of them were chained up in there. We don't know exactly why some of them were and some of them weren't. Some speculate that he chained up angels that were involved in the Genesis chapter 6 of interbreeding with the women of the earth. That's a speculation. You know, for those who hold that view, that is a possibility. I don't know. But some of the angels are bound up in the bottomless pit in the prison. And Satan's going to join them at this time. All right, so this angel carries a great chain. Whether it's literal or figurative chain, we don't know. You know, you think about the illustrations. Can you think of, maybe I should put it in a question form. Can you think of any illustration during Jesus' ministry where demons were not able to be held by chains? Yeah, the demoniac of Gadara. They chained him up and he'd break the chains. So, if this is a literal chain, it's obviously a very powerful chain, one that the devil can't break. But it may just be a figurative chain in the sense that captives were chained up. And so it's the idea that he's going to be disabled, chained up. And the angel captured and bound Satan there, and he's called the dragon, the old serpent, and the devil. So this gives us some more names that he has throughout the Bible. He's got a lot of different names. And the angel cast him into the pit, or also called the abyss, and shut him up and set a seal over him for 1,000 years. And Christ will reign unhindered by him. So for those 1,000 years, nobody will be able to say, the devil made me do it. Because the devil's not going to be able to make him do it. He is bound in the pit for those 1,000 years, unable to cause any trouble. And Satan could not deceive the people for those 1,000 years. And after the 1,000 years, then Christ will let him loose for a brief season. And you know, you look at that and you say, well, why would God let him loose if he's got him chained up? Well, God wasn't afraid of him. But God was showing us something. You know, this millennial period, remember, is the last of the dispensations where God is proving to man that man cannot seek God and turn to God in his own strength. He can't fix his own problems. He needs God's help. And so for 1,000 years, they live in a perfect utopia. There's no sin on the outside. There's sin on the inside, but nothing on the outside because Christ quashes it. He rules with an iron rod. He doesn't let anything get by. And there's a beautiful, wonderful time for 1,000 years in this earth. And the earth itself is in harmony. It's back like much like it was in the beginning. And a beautiful, wonderful time for those 1,000 years. A wonderful utopia. And Christ will reign with his saints. Verses 4 to 6, Mel.
And I saw thrones, they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Okay, so some very special things for us to catch in this section here. So don't miss this. God gives thrones to the resurrected believers. Now exactly who those resurrected believers are, they will reign with Christ for 1,000 years on the earth. So they're reigning with him. They're in leadership positions. And the saints are the tribulation martyrs and likely the believers resurrected at the rapture. Now why would I say that? You know, some would say, no, it's just the tribulation. Because he specifically mentions the tribulation saints here. in the middle of the verse. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. I said, these are definitely people in the tribulation period, or went through the tribulation period, who died as martyrs. They did not cave into the Antichrist and the devil's prompting during that time. So we know they're part of it. But why would I say that it's likely all the believers? Well, we read on and we can find that out. The rest of the dead, the unbelievers, will remain dead for 1,000 years. Look at verse number 5. All right, so in verse number 5, and the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. All right, so he says, he calls this the first resurrection, and then he says the rest of the dead are not going to live again until after the 1,000 years are over. And then we're going to see that those will be resurrected and stand before God. So I can't be positive, but it certainly sounds like it. These ones who are reigning on the earth with Christ were very likely all the believers up to that point. All right, so that's, you know, you just see that from the context there. Those of the first resurrection are blessed by God. Look at verse number 6. Blessed and holy. See, that's part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So everybody that's part of the first resurrection are blessed of God. And they have God's special blessing. Now, we'll take a look at it in just a moment. I'm going to show you a chart that will help us to see that. You know, so the second death has no power over them. They will be priests of God, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. All right, now, take a good look at this chart. This chart will help you to understand what's taking place. The first resurrection is not one event that happens just like that. It is a sequence of events. Christ was part of the first resurrection. Some of the saints, remember when Christ rose from the dead, there were others that rose from the dead. And the Bible doesn't tell us how many. It doesn't tell us whether they died again. It doesn't tell. There's a lot of things it doesn't tell us. It just said that some of the saints were raised up at the resurrection of Christ. And at the rapture, there's going to be people that are resurrected. And then there's the two witnesses that preach during the tribulation are going to be raised up. And so that's a resurrection. There's the tribulation martyrs that die during the tribulation. They're going to be raised up. Somewhere in all of this, the Old Testament saints are raised up. Whether they were raised up, I kind of speculate that they might have raised when Christ rose from the dead. But I can't prove that. Others say, no, they raised somewhere in here after the millennium. I don't know. But then there's the millennial saints that aren't even mentioned at all. I mean, the believers that lived in the millennium, they certainly were raised up too, because they had to have immortal bodies. So all these are part of the first resurrection. The second resurrection is all the unbelievers. So when it talks about the first resurrection and the second resurrection, it's talking about events, not single events, but segments of events, especially the first resurrection. Okay? Now, any questions about that? Does that make sense? You understand? It's important you see this, the first resurrection, because that can confuse you. Because, you know, because it doesn't happen all at one time, it's not talking about an event. It's talking about a sequence of events called the first resurrection. The first resurrection resurrects you to eternal life. The second resurrection resurrects you to eternal damnation. So the unbelievers are going to be raised from the dead and given some sort of an immortal body that can still feel the pain, but will not burn up in the fire. And they'll live for an eternity separated from God. All right? So whether it's actually a body like we will have, or whether it's just resurrecting their soul, I can't answer that. All right? No questions? Okay. So as we continue on, verses 7 to 10.
And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, And the fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them.
Okay, so as we look at this, it's the very last rebellion. There'll be none after this. This is it. All right. God will loose Satan briefly after the millennium, verse number 7. And as he does, he will immediately deceive the nations and rally a great army. And he says here that the army will number as the sands of the sea. Just an innumerable amount of people will be rallied together. And his army will encircle Jerusalem. All right, it's called the Beloved City. And so they're going to encircle Jerusalem. So all over the world, the devil's going to rally people together and say, come on, let's go to Jerusalem. That's God's city. And remember, that's where Christ reigned for 1,000 years. They're going to come now to the place where Christ reigned. They're going to have an official rebellion against Christ as the King of the world and the King of glory. And they rally around to try to defend themselves and attack Christ. And they come from all over the earth, and they encircle God's people in the beloved city, Jerusalem, and God will send down fire from heaven, and that'll be the end of the story. They'll be wiped out. And, you know, it's amazing to think that people just, after all of the things that have happened, they still don't learn. God's not going to lose. He's on the winning side. And God will cast the devil then into the lake of fire. Verse number 10, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And now notice this next line, very, very important next line, where the beast and the false prophet are. Why is that important? Now?
Because he's still there after 1,000 years.
They're still there after 1,000 years. All right, those who believe in annihilation... What's annihilation? All right, I'll just ask that question first. What's it mean to be annihilated?
Total destruction, so you cease to be.
Yeah, that's right. It's just like you put a piece of a leaf in a fire and it burns up and it's gone and there's nothing there but dusty ashes. And that's what annihilation is. So there's a lot of people, several of the cults believe in annihilation. They think God wouldn't punish people for eons of eternity, but he will just... burn them up in crispy critters and they'll be done and that's all and it's over. But here it says that after 1,000 years of the millennium, the beast and the false prophet are still there in the lake of fire and they're still being tormented. And the devil joins them now and will be tormented, notice here, day and night, forever and ever. Yes, Garden.
Section it says they encircle those people in the beloved city. Is that kind of saying that they're like, is that kind of like saying there's only Christians just in that one spot and nowhere else on the whole earth?
No, I don't think so. That's a good question, but I don't think so. But it is the headquarters. That's where God's headquarters are, in the beloved city. And so during the millennial kingdom, Christ will be reigning. There'll be the millennial temple that will be set up that Ezekiel describes. So the millennial temple will be there. Christ will be reigning in Jerusalem. That'll be the headquarters of the world. And then the devil, when he's set free, will rally this great force to come and fight against them. And they'll all go around the capital. Yes, sir.
Well, I guess they're mostly there to fight against God. Hence why they're not just... people so much, but to rally against God.
Yes.
Like that's their purpose. Like
yes.
They want to destroy him.
Yes. See, Christ is reigning physically on this earth.
Yeah.
And he is the king of the earth. And they've hated him for the 1,000 years because he was ruling over them and with a rod of iron and keeping peace but squashing their any kind of rebellion. He didn't put up with any kind of rebellion, period. And now they have an opportunity. The devil's out loosed and helping them. And so they said, let's go get him. And so they all rally around Jerusalem to try to get the Lord. And the Lord just sends down fire and that's the end. They're done. And Satan then will join the beast and the false prophet who are still there. And they will be tormented continually for all eternity. All right, so then we take a look again at this chart. And the second resurrection is... the resurrection of the believers. We're going to see that in the next verses, the resurrection of all the believers of all time, from the very beginning until the very end, will all be resurrected then. And if you, I wasn't able to put the notes on the website today because my computer's being examined for illness. So anyway, I don't have my computer. All I have is this one, and I couldn't figure out how to get it on there, so I didn't. But the notes will be on there, and all the details if you want to get them later. Okay. The last judgment before God's throne, verses 11 to 15, please.
And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Okay, so as we work our way through here, the earth and heaven flee from God's face. Very likely referring to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. 2 Peter 3:10 is that great description of the final judgment. And it says there, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements all shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works thereof shall be burned up. All right? So it's very likely referring to this event at the very end, during the judgment of the known as the great white throne judgment of God, and all the dead believers from creation to the end will appear. This is the second resurrection. All right, so they're going to be resurrected, stand before God for judgment. All right, and that's very significant how he describes all this. God will open his books. You know, he doesn't name the books here, but from other scriptures we can see John chapter 12 verse 48. Speaks of the Bible. Jesus said, you will be judged by my words, the things that I have said. And then they'll also be judged by their deeds. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 12, Jeremiah 17, 10, Daniel 7, 10, Psalm 44, 21, and Hebrews 4, 13 all have allusion to the deeds being judged by God in the last day. And then they will be judged by God's books and also by the book of life. And the references to the book of life, besides the two that are mentioned here in this chapter, these are all the other references to the book of life in the Bible. And you can dig them up and research them on your own at another time. But they'll be judged by these things. And God will open the books. So anybody that stands before him in that day and says, God, you're not fair, God will say, right, there's the evidence. This is what you did. This is all the things you did in your life. And what are you going to say? What can they say? Guilty. 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 And so they're going to stand before God condemned. Guilty because they did not receive Christ. See, the sad thing is that all those who stand there on that day, they could have had pardon. They could have been forgiven. They could have had eternal life in heaven, but they rejected it. They turned it down. Christ paid the debt for all men, but they turned it down. And now they have to pay their own debt. The souls of all from the sea, death, and hell will stand before God. Look at verse 13. That he says that in the sea gave up the dead which were in them. You know, some people think, you know, well, they died at sea and the fish ate them and then they just became fish poo. You know, well, maybe they did. But God knows where all their molecules are. He knows where it all is. And God will bring it all back together. And some people just defy God and say, well, I'm going to be cremated and they're going to throw my ashes on the ocean and God will never find me. God knows where they all are. So he says that the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So death itself, the fact that when a man dies, he is going to give up the dead that are in it. And hell, remember, Hades is, we often talk about hell as being eternal. That's not technically true. Hell will be cast into the lake of fire. So all those that are in hell now will be cast into the eternal lake of fire. So whether the hell is the lake of fire, I don't think so, because they're talked about different things. But so hell is going to be cast into there, whether God just takes all the fire and all just dumps it. I don't think so. But hell is cast into the lake of fire. So all those who are now in hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And so he makes it very clear. Those, no matter where they died, no matter how they died, no matter what the situation was, God will bring them back. They're going to stand before God, and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Now, one of the things to remember, this great white throne judgment is not a time of God evaluating to see whether anybody was still worthy of heaven. It's not what it is at all. It's a time of sentencing. The sentence is already taking place. The judgment's already taking place. The sentence is waiting. All right? They're all guilty. They've all been condemned because they rejected Christ. That settles the issue. If they rejected Jesus' payment, it's done. There's no hope for them. And it's just a matter of having the judgment day come when God says, there's the evidence. You're guilty. Christ paid the debt. You rejected it. I'm sorry. Depart from me. And so it'll be a time of sentencing rather than a time of forgiving anybody. Death and hell will be cast into that fire. And those, all those whose names are not written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. So from the beginning of time to the end, those whose names have not been found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Some people think that God wrote all of our names in the book of life and will blot out the names of those who reject him. That's a possibility, because that really kind of pictures God's mercy and grace. But it's either that or else God wrote our names in the book of life when we put our faith in him, one or the other. But in the end, those who know the Lord have their names in the book of life. They will spend eternity with him, and we'll see in the last two glorious chapters of the Bible the end of the believers. But this is the end of those who have rejected him. Some personal applications here. Man will have a sin problem even in a utopia. And all believers will be part of the first resurrection, and all unbelievers will be part of the second resurrection. And neither man nor Satan can resist God and win. Never. And every person will one day answer to God. Everyone. Christians are protected by the blood of the Lamb. Unbelievers will suffer eternally for the rejection of Christ. May we strive to reach them while we can. Time's running out. And we all know of people who's died without Christ, and our hearts break, but it's too late. There's no second chance. You know, many of the cults teach that, you know, God's going to give people another opportunity. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it's appointed on man once to die, and after that, judgment. So we got to do our best to try to reach them now. A lot of people don't want to hear. But our responsibility is not to force them to hear. Our responsibility is to share the way of truth with them. Okay? Any questions? Garrett?
So will people be, saved in the millennium?
Yes. Yes. Now, whether it's... I mean, salvation's always been by faith in God. Okay? Old Testament, they didn't know as much as we do. But they were saved by faith in God. Whatever God told them, they put their faith in him. And we are saved by faith in God and what Christ did for us. Millennial saints will be saved the same way, by faith in God and what Christ did for them. And that Jesus Christ really is the Lamb of God. But there'll be multitudes during the millennium that were born during that time, all with original Christian parents. But that 1,000 years, you know, they're born sinners. They may be Christian parents, but they got children who are sinners. And multitudes upon multitudes of them will be rebels in their heart. And when given that opportunity by Satan, they will rebel against God and turn their back on Him. Okay? Any other question?
That's almost the end of the earth thing too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then you're okay. Okay.
Yes. God will create a new heaven and a new earth.
Yeah.
So this is when verse 11 describes what I believe is, as I said in 2 Peter 3:10, the earth will melt. And by the earth melting, it may, and God isn't clear about that, it may refer to not just our little planet, it may refer to everything in our universe that we know of as Earth. Garrett.
Yeah, just for my own sake, because now I'm going to do it myself. But, so if the Christians, you're saying it's just Christians who then have kids to these people in the millennium kingdom?
When the millennium starts, all unbelievers are dead.
So those Christians were people that may have survived during the tribulation.
Oh, they will survive during the tribulation.
I'm not really asking because, like, so then what I'm asking is, their bodies are not renewed.
No.
In their kids. The reason I'm asking is, the kids come out sinners.
Yes,
so
just like us.
Parents are sinners.
Yes. All right. So. All right. During the judgment of the millennium, or during the judgment of the living nations, Matthew chapter 25, I alluded to that earlier, you can read through that on your own, but in Matthew 25, describes when Jesus Christ will judge all the nations that are still alive at the end of the tribulation period. Alright, all the people are still alive. And he divides them into the sheep and the goats. And the sheep are those who he says, helped those who were his brethren. And they said, when did we ever do this? And they did. He said, because you did it to me. Like, them, you did it to me. All right. Now, they weren't saved during the tribulation period because they helped other people. They risked their life to help other people because they were saved. All right. So, obviously, salvation is not by works. We're not saved by helping people and being good. But there is that division there. So all of the goats are cast into the lake of fire. They're cast into hell at that time. And then the sheep, the living believers, that are still just like us, humans, will populate the earth and bear children by the bazillions. And they're going to be living long lives, back like it was in the beginning. You know, there's passages there in Isaiah that talks about children dying when they're 100 years old, and what a shame, the little kid died, you know, that kind of thing. So many of these people will probably live through the entire millennium for 1,000 years and bear children the whole time. Can you imagine having, wouldn't you like to have 800 kids? You know, but anyway, it's going to be an amazing time. All right.